Ready? Director Torres?
Present.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Present.
And let the record show Director Torlakson and Director Hudson are absent.
Will you rise and tell me you do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on. I need an approval of the agenda.
I'll second.
I will approve the agenda.
You'll need to add something to the agenda.
You would like to add something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like to add an item to closed session, real property negotiations pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 regarding the sale of approximately 1.99 acres of land located at the southwest corner of Willow Pass Road and Clearland Drive, Bay Point, APN 097-081-027. And the district negotiator is Sandra Webb, and the potential buyer is Alliance Strategic Development.
Second.
No.
Okay.
I vote to amend the agenda to add this, what was the name of it?
The closed session.
The closed session. To the closed session, and I also approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay. Director Torres?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Torlakson and Director Hudson are absent.
Okay, now we need to approve the consent calendar.
I move to consent the consent calendar as is minutes of April 11th regular meeting and approval of warrants number 47537 through number 47596 and the final report.
I'll second.
Director Torres?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Torlakson and Director Hudson are absent.
We have no presentation. But we do have the general manager's report.
Okay. Well, good evening. First of all, the Ambrose Community Park, the playground swing set have been installed. If you'd like to take a look at it, we're going to be putting the swings in next Thursday because Wednesday we'll be adding the playground fiber bark in there. As you can see, the CDGB granted floor project is in process, full swing. It'll be completed next Wednesday, and we will be putting wood in the hall between the auditorium and the dining room. The Ambrose Park Bear Cave is now complete with barbecue, electrical power, picnic tables, and our first rental is scheduled for June 1st.
Oh, great.
Lynbrook Basketball Court overlay and hoop is in. They're going to do one more overlay of paint tomorrow, and then they will be striping it, and that project will be completed. Mike's Bike Repair will be here Thursday, June 6th. We've been having a lot of requests from our community about bike repair, and it's free repairs for the entire community. We'll be posting that on our websites and doing email blasts for that as well. Our Junior Giants program will begin on June 9th. We are beginning to prep the field for the games, and wanted to mention, as of last Friday, we have water out there. So it's very exciting. April 27th was the Sheriff's Bike Rodeo at Riverview Middle School, and our Academy and our teens did an amazing job. They gave away ICs, which was the hit of the day. Probably the hit of the day was the 300 bicycles that were given to the kids. They were very excited. Ambrose Aquatic Center will be opening Saturday, May 25th. We start lessons on June 10th. We do have the scholarship program through the color mitigation for one session free. And we're starting to fill up. And we're going to also be doing two sport camps this summer and a water polo camp.
Whoa.
At the pool. I know you received the email, but wanted to share again that we have been selected to receive the CARPD Award for Outstanding Renovated Facility. And that is for our Anuta Park project. The award will be presented at the CARPD Awards Banquet, and that's going to be at 7 o'clock May 23rd at the Hyatt Regency in Sonoma, and you are invited to attend the ceremony.
Lori, are we going to have transportation to go out there? Somebody's going to drive us, or we are going to carpool?
I will be at the convention there for 4 days, so I don't know if you guys want to carpool, but you will be reimbursed for mileage and for attending the event.
Okay. Thank you.
No questions.
Okay. Just one more step. All right, moving on. We have public communications. Seven, Eagle Council Report. We have none. Eight, public communications. At this time, the public may take comments on matters not on the agenda, but within the jurisdiction of the Board of Directors. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, a total of 30 minutes for all speakers. A request to speak form should be submitted to staff prior to speaking. No action will be taken by the Board of Directors. Written communication received regarding item not on the agenda will be filed and it may be read into the record at the discretion of the Board Chair. I have a request to speak from
Joanne. I'm going to talk to her, so yeah, Joanne. How you doing? I want to hand you guys something and then I'll follow up with you. Okay, so my name is Johan Vedovanam and I'm here on behalf of the Lanka Lions Cricket Club. I've been working with Lori for the, Dan Rosen actually for the past 12 years. Mm-hmm. I've just retired, but I'm still involved in other things. And so I was talking to Lori about trying to, I approached you guys about, I would say about 4 years ago, 5 years ago,
yeah.
About doing a cricket ground at the Ambrose Park, and nothing materialized because the ground was in such bad shape. Mm-hmm. But I think Lori was telling me that you guys are probably not going to start working on that. And so I wanted to make a petition to see if we can get a cricket ground. And before we move into the, because two of my other friends are supposed to come, but one's coming from San Francisco, other was flying from Arizona, so they're probably not going to make it on time. So anyway, I'll continue, I was going to do it anyway. Give you a little background about cricket. Cricket is the second most popular sport in the world. It's played and watched, you know. The World Cup is going to be played this year in the West Indies, and it's going to be played in, matches are going to be played in Florida and New York, and they'll over 2 million people watch it. So it's growing in the US as well. It's played extensively in South Asia, in India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Australia, and then all the British colonies, you know, England, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Afghanistan, Britain, West Indies. So it's a very popular sport and it's growing, especially out here in the US now with the influx of South Asian into Silicon Valley. There is a high demand for it because a lot of them are young people who come here and they want to, you know, play what they've grown up playing. Also, as far as income, the Indians are the highest earning ethnicity in this country. Pakistanis are the third and the Sri Lankans are the sixth. So they have money. They're willing to spend. The problem is they can't find grounds to play at. Okay? So this is a great opportunity, in my opinion, for you guys to help an underserved group, you know, for one thing, and also grow, get some income out of it. You can easily charge about $250 to $300 a day for them to play a match here, so, you know, at $25-$30 an hour even, and they'll pay for it because they don't have enough of grounds. We've got about, I would say, about 200,000 to 300,000 South Asians, maybe even more, in the Bay Area, and only 40 grounds for them to play on. There's they had a ground here at Riverview School. These people had some Indians had gone and built the ground without asking the school district. They paid about 2 years on it, and they got ripped out. But I don't think they made a presentation explained the benefits to the school district by, you know, renting an empty ground. You know, it's not been used at all, and they could have made money out of it. So in my opinion, you know, this, if we are able to get this down, you guys can actually make money. Number one, it's a chance for you guys to expose the city to people coming from other parts of the Bay Area, from Silicon Valley, from Sacramento, from San Francisco, right? They'll bring their families here, especially if the pool being there, and they know that there's a pool, they'll bring their kids so the kids can go swimming while the dad's playing cricket. You know, they'll get done, they go and eat at restaurants out here when they're done, and so before driving back home. They'll be, you know, they'll spend money in this town. So that's going to be a huge benefit for you. They'll see the growth of this town. A lot of them are young families who probably can't afford to buy houses in Silicon Valley. They'll say, wow, look at the houses you can get in Bay Point. It's going to help grow the city too, you know. So it's going to do a lot of pluses for the city by if you're able to build the ground. Now, going on to the ground right there, as you can see, I sent pictures. I know a lot of times people are concerned that, oh, we get a ground, we don't know what's going to happen, they're going to destroy it. It's really nothing. It doesn't affect the ground. That is a ground that was built in Wichita, Kansas, okay? Mm-hmm. And it shows the stages of how they took the ground and turned it out and built it into a, now I think I sent you the copy of the email. Show you how it's done, and it really doesn't affect the ground. It can be used for other. It can be used for other sports as well. Now that is a concrete ground right there, a pitch, and it's covered with like a carpet, right? Mm-hmm. The pitch over here that they built at Riverview School, it was actually packed in dirt and then covered with a carpet. You can go either one. The reason we type concrete is because it lasts longer. You don't have to keep replacing it. You know, the rains don't affect it. Weather doesn't affect it. So that's one thing. Again, with the type of people, we have about 26 guys on our team. And we are just a private organization who likes to play this, you know, social matches. They're all professionals out here. Okay? So they are all... Oh, hi. This is... Come on, John. He's also Johan, by the way.
Hello.
He just moved from Arizona. Yeah. His son's graduation. So just telling them about the ground. Sure. So, like, our team has about 25 guys, and they're all professionals, you know. So, they're all, you know, so we have people who have to appear with some kind of influence and stuff like that. And I know the Ambrose Center, being a nonprofit, some of these guys are big guys, like vice presidents. He's the director of a company, you know, of these companies, big corporations, and they can help out maybe when you guys want some, you know, something sponsored and stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. out here. So that's one thing. Secondly, there's like the guys out at who were playing that ground. They don't have a ground. They'll book it. There's a group in Brentwood who call themselves the Brentwood Cricket Club. They have four teams there, and they play on a baseball surface. They will book it, you know. Northern California Cricket Association is a huge entity now. Mm-hmm. They will book it. And then there are people who are looking to book this for different cricket, what they call carnivals, like picnics with the families and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know, and it's also going to help you guys. I don't know if you guys have a snack bar there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can even open that and, you know, sell food. You can use the swimming pool, you know. So that's why, so I'm here to petition to see if you would mind considering this one. You have anything to say?
No, I think you covered it. Sorry I'm late. Had a quick turnaround. Straight from Oakland, went home, turned around, and came back here. So,
Dad, you guys have any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Madam Chair, this is under public comment, so there's no dialogue.
Sorry.
Yeah, if the board would like to agendize this at a future date, you can, and then you can have dialogue at that point.
So you want to get in touch with Laurie so we could, we could bring it to the
Definitely, we'd like to come some other time and discuss it in a, you know, so this is just a petition to see if you guys would like to table it and then we can discuss it.
Sounds good. That's very good. Thank you.
So I'll keep in touch with Laurie.
Okay.
And we'll discuss this further. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate
you for your time.
Listening
thank
to you. Us.
Thank
you.
Stay for the rest of the meeting if you'd like to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Board matters. individuals wishing to speak on items included on this agenda should first fill out and submit a request to speak form to be recognized by the chair. Please address the board and limit your comments to the specific item being discussed at the time. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, a total of 30 minutes for all speakers. A is considering accepting the final audit report for year 22-23 as presented by Fletcher Company.
And I introduce Mr. Michael Fink from Fletcher and Company. Come on.
Okay. I know I'm a new face from Fletcher and Company, one of the shareholders. I believe you guys have worked with Joanne probably in the past, maybe Craig, even if we're dipping a little bit further back in the past. I'm here to kind of help explain any, or answer any questions you guys might have, explain the financial statements, make sure you guys are okay with them, and that we're able to take full responsibility for the financial statements and issue the final reports. I know it might be a little bit different as you guys are probably presented with the final report for your approval, but as we have performed this remote audit for a little while now, and I'm a new face, I want to make sure that I saw you guys and made sure that everything is okay with the report before we go ahead and sign our initials on it and get it out the door. So I can go through it. I kind of present or prepared a little bit of a, what was a PowerPoint slideshow, I didn't know what to expect coming here, but I printed it out for you guys so you at least could see it.
Yeah.
And it helps to just kind of put some guides on making sure I don't get off track a little bit too far when I go through the report. I imagine you guys have all gotten a copy of the report at this point and I had a chance to kind of look through it. So I'm not going to spend too much time going through every single number or every single footnote. But of course, if you do have any particular questions, you can interrupt me at any point in time and make sure that you are heard by your firm and make sure we address it. So, let's read it here. Thank you guys for having us back for another year. We're doing the June 30th, 2023. I know it's a little bit different when we're always looking backward, but I think it's still fresh enough. We always start out with our required communications. You'll see a lot of the language that are kind of included in those slides in the management report as well. It is required of an auditor to make sure that we communicate the things that we saw, the things that we did, what tools we used, and what was at our disposal in producing the audit report. And it's usually easier for us to start out by explaining an audit, almost by explaining what it isn't. An audit is not a 100% review of every single transaction that transpired over the entire year. We look at the district, we look at the nature of the transactions, we do planning, and we do risk assessments, and we evaluate what needs to be looked at, and we always take into consideration the concerns you guys might have as well. So a financial statement audit is defined as an independent examination of the organization's financial statements and disclosures by independent auditors with the goal of providing a materially true and fair view of the organization's financial performance and position. So I always put this slide up front. We had a clean opinion. So the audit report had no material issues. The financial statements as we see are presented fairly and in accordance with GAAP. It took a little bit of work to get there, and there were some audit adjustments which we covered in a little bit. But overall, we had no qualifications. It does cover all the basic financial statements, and we do limited procedures with regard to the supplementary information, which is the budget, the actual, and the MD&A, management discussion analysis. A lot of this stuff is kind of in our engagement letter and other communications as well, but to reiterate, management is responsible for the fair and accurate presentation of the financial statements and establishing the systems of internal controls and policies necessary to achieve that goal. Some of those examples of those things are selection of what accounting policies to actually use, the financial statement presentation and its accuracy, that implementation of internal controls, and adjusting district records to correct material misstatements of any that are proposed by the auditors, and then informing us of any fraud or non-compliance and things that would need to be considered as part of producing those financial statements. These accounting policies that you guys are in charge of are summarized in note one. These should be fairly consistent year to year unless there was drastic changes. I wouldn't expect to see hard numbers ever presented in footnote one. The evolution of any type of accounting policies and procedures in accordance with GAAP might change over time, but overall they should be fairly consistent with the district. A lot of them are pretty standard disclosures, the basis of accounting and presentation for a governmental agency, and it explains the difference between fund statements, government-wide, and so on and so forth. a description of what those basic financial statements look at and the basis for certain estimates. Fortunately for you guys, it's fairly easy and straightforward. There's not too terribly many estimates that you guys are subject to revealing management bias or anything that might, you know, skew the number one way or the other. Things that are specific to the district are any fund balance policies, the property tax installments calendars. We disclose what dates you guys received those disbursements from the county. And the capital assets estimating lies, we have a little schedule there of what seems to be a pretty standard affair of the different types of assets you guys have. Excuse me, and how long you guys would depreciate those assets. Now, there are no such thing as financial statements that could be prepared without estimates. Now, like I said, there's not too many estimates here, but it's an emphasis for this year starting forward with SAS 134 to 143 and 145. And what that is pretty much a gap in the Governmental Accounting Standards Board requires us to make sure that we stop every year and evaluate now, moving forward, what systems you guys use, what IT infrastructure you have, and what type of potential for bias and estimates you guys might have. So again, I don't really have this one, I normally do 3-4 slides, but for you, if it's on one, depreciation is probably the biggest one for you guys. So if you took a capital asset and depreciated it over, say, 5 years versus 10 years, the amount of amortization on the government-wide statements would change based on what you guys say is that estimated useful life. Overall, the capitalization cost as well. So whether you guys incorporate just the base component or all the different installation costs or taxes and fees and things like that to place an asset into service is kind of up to your discretion. Really, the only other estimate would be vacation. You'll see in the coming years, I want to say not next fiscal year, but the year thereafter, there will be a new accounting pronouncement, GASB 101, which will provide further guidance on what qualifies as paid time off, what doesn't qualify as paid time off, and how you're supposed to present it. It'll kind of reduce some of the footnote disclosures, which is nice, and make it a little bit more presentable. But overall, I don't really see this as a huge area of risk for you guys. Now, our responsibilities as the auditor. We are responsible, first and foremost, for forming that opinion. And that opinion is kind of what I led with, a clean opinion up front. So if we're looking at pages 1 through 3, that is kind of our property there. And so it is our job to express that opinion about whether the financial statements have been prepared in accordance with GAAP and in with all the applicable reporting framework that's required. We have to conduct our audit in accordance, and I changed this bullet point before it came out here, and I know we made some changes right before we got the final proposed draft. So we did make a little bit of a change here this year in that we reduced the scope. And when I say GAAP, generally accepted audit standards, that's the standard in the United States for financial statement audits. Previously, we did have some additional reporting that was under what we call Yellow Book. And that's GAAS, if the accountants like to use their acronyms, I apologize. But that's generally accepted government auditing standards. And that's just an extra layer, an extra tier, if it's required of you guys. If you guys had a single audit and had expended over $750,000 in federal funds, or if there was additional reporting requirements, they needed additional opinions on your internal control systems, we can do that report. I kind of removed it because it would have taken additional time, possibly additional cost, and there were some controls that I didn't think were imperative to your guys' operations that needed to be discussed. Now, it can always be added back, so if there was, for some reason, a new grantor that entered the field, or if there was an insurance carrier that said you guys need to have this type of report, you know, we can always adapt and make that back in there. I don't know that you guys really need to, and the only example I've really come across was some general liability insurance carriers that were asking for either the internal control report or a management report. And frankly, we're going to give you the management report every single year, so I don't see any reason why you guys would need to pay for anything more. Now, our engagement as auditors and the performance of the audit of the financial statements, as a reminder, does not relieve management or those charged with governance of their responsibilities. And we do have to remind you guys that an audit is providing reasonable assurance. That is the highest level of assurance that you can get from an independent auditor, but it is not an absolute assurance of 100% of accuracy. Now, this next slide has a little bit more bullet points in it, and the report was clean, and I don't see that there was anything wrong that you guys need to immediately address. These are just items that we are required to make sure that you guys know, things that we saw while we were conducting the audit and things that we considered as part of the audit, so that you guys are aware of them. So some of the things that took us a little bit longer than I might have expected to get through the audit, It was a bit unique for me in dealing with a remote audit, not necessarily in the sense of where we wouldn't be doing like Teams meetings and in-person meetings, that kind of stuff, but overall we were delivered a box of documents. Now, I have been delivered a box of documents before, and it wasn't anything as organized as what Jessica put together, so I mean, as soon as I opened it up and spread out everything, it was in exact order of what I had asked for, and everything was accurate and nice and neat, so despite the fact that I was a little bit reticent of seeing a box full of documents, it actually worked out.
Yeah.
But it did take a little bit longer just because it restricts the amount of participation you guys can have in you know, the back and forth. If we're pointing at the same document together in the same room and discussing a number, it's a little bit easier than trying to come up with our own interpretations, revise a report, send it over, and kind of get the back and forth going. So that took a little bit longer, but I don't know if this is something that you guys could change necessarily in the immediate future, but we could arrange for more in-person meetings, or we could come out here and do 1 or 2 days if we really wanted to, or, I mean, heck, you could come over to our office with that same box and we could talk about it, whatever it takes, just to make sure that the audit goes smoothly and there's no downtime between waiting for emails to back and forth. Although I will say, with your situation and being able to respond as quickly as you did, I'm thoroughly impressed, so thank you for your help. Capital assets. That is an area that's kind of a bit of a bugaboo for a number of smaller special districts. I mean, really, in the 70s and 80s, leading up to the 90s, it wasn't something that was required of governments to even really track. So it's kind of a newer conversation that we've been having in the past decade with organizations, and the accounting over is becoming more and more strict. One example of things I was dealing with the capital assets is we had an item that I ended up ultimately writing off. There was a line item of about $479,000 of fully depreciated assets. I imagine it's just kind of old assets that may have been inventoried at one point, but they had no impact on the financial statements. It wasn't on the balance sheet anymore. There was no net book value left, and it's not something that you can take an inventory of. I couldn't walk over here and say, show me all your fully depreciated assets on this line item that equals $479,000. So we got rid of that line item, and I would recommend that there's only items on there that you can physically touch and see and verify its existence, evaluate it for impairment, make sure if it's in disrepair, if it needs to be written down or replaced, that kind of thing. Another thing that we had to look at a little bit more closely this year is dealing with the Quimby fees. The legislative restrictions that surround those revenue sources are a little bit unique, and that the purpose restriction may or may not be imposed by the county or the respective developer, I guess, that would have been subject to those fees. I don't know that the county necessarily communicates it, because it seems to me like they kind of give you one lump sum payment, and there's a few different components all built into that together. So I can appreciate that's a little bit difficult to track, but I changed my approach and made an adjusting journal entry for that one, where we moved it from deferred revenues actually into restricted and earned in the current year. And I would recommend that going forward just because it's difficult to track otherwise if you defer that revenue, it's understating your revenue for the current year, and it might be overstating the revenue in the subsequent year when you guys are already set to receive the next set of Quimby fees. And then overall, a recommendation that I would have is setting up the financial statements was a little bit slower than usual just because the chart of accounts, it's gotten a little bit big. And there's, I don't really see a logic stream, right? Like there's some letters in some account numbers, not in others. Sometimes they're 4 digits, sometimes they're 5. And I know for comparability purposes, when you create and make changes to that chart of accounts on a frequent basis, it can be a little bit difficult to reconcile beginning balances and make sure that you can see the differences between the performance of that account in the current year versus previous years and actually being able to project.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that any of these items obviously had an impact on the financial statements. We didn't qualify your opinion. Everything was fine. But just in striving for excellence and perfection, these are the kind of things that we would look at as auditors and mention to you guys as something that could be improved upon. To summarize some of the corrected items that we had, we posted some journal entries. I don't tend to consider the government-wide entries. Those are more mechanical in nature. And you guys don't report on a full accrual basis. You guys are, you know, local government. So specifically, we did post updated information for the GASB 87, so the lease receivable that you guys have is a relatively new accounting pronouncement, I think was effective for you guys last year. So that receivable was already recorded, but there was no activity. We just had to book, you know, the payments you guys got and reduce that lease receivable that was on the balance sheet. We reclassified a few capital outlay items that didn't end up making it onto the fixed asset schedule. We would reclass those over to maintenance and repairs. We also separated out, I think it was just a single lump sum payment for the principal payment on the note payable, and the component of that was interest, so we made sure that we separated those out and put the interest and principal separate so that we reduced it accordingly. Otherwise, we accrued just a couple minor additional accounts payables. I wouldn't consider that even material. It was more than a few thousand dollars. And again, I kind of mentioned this already, but we did one big reclass from the Quimby fees where we moved it out from deferred revenues and moved it into earn for the year, but as restricted revenues that are restricted in purpose for whatever the developers would have had, and I imagine it's for expansion of services, so increasing from earn essentially. Overall, though, we had no disagreements with management or anything like that. It looks like it's split onto the next page. I apologize. We did not use any other specialists. We didn't combine with any other accounting firms. We were able to complete the report just kind of by ourselves, as expected, and we had no other actual material findings or matters that we need to bring to your attention otherwise. So I got through the required communications, and I can get into the actual numbers here, but before I get into that, did I talk to you quickly? Are we doing okay? Any questions?
We're good.
So, government agencies have the joy of dealing with multiple sets of financial statements. So, we have the government-wide financial statements as well as the fund statements. We always start with the government-wide statements, and those are on a full accrual basis, so that would start on page 9 of the report and move on to page 10. That's essentially your full accrual balance sheet and income statement. And then we separate out with a page separator there, and it goes into the fund statements, and there is what you guys would probably report on as the modified accrual basis on a regular basis. So, sticking with the government-wide, we have a total net position of $5,903,000. Now, that includes long-term assets and liabilities. That's what makes it unique from the other governmental fund statements. So anything that's long-term that would not be measurable for beyond a year or more is only something that would show up on here. So for you guys, it's really just note payable, compensated absences, and capital assets. Nothing terribly complex there. The statement of activities on the following page, on page 10. We have here a net recreation operations loss of $1.6 million. Now, that's because we do separate out the general revenues as required by GAAP, and it shows them down below there under general revenues for taxes and assessments, which is your primary driver for revenue. So we had a general revenues total of $1.8 million, and that included property taxes of $1.3. And we're noting once again, year over year, that it is a continual rise of those assessments. I don't know if you can always count on them, but they're there. Overall, that resulted in a total increase in net position, so a net income of $243,000. Moving on to the fund financial statements after that separator page, starting on page 11. We had a general fund balance. You guys only have the general funds of $1.5 million, and of that, 111% is in cash. Now, I only add that little footnote there because it's something that we consider as a going concern matter to make sure that you guys are liquid. You can pay your ongoing obligations for the next year and thereafter in a strong cash position that you guys have, and you're not terribly leveraged in debt. There's no concerns as far as audit perspective and whether you guys could actually continue to make payroll or pay for, you know, cap outlay, things like that. Total revenues was $1.9 million and total expenditures was $1.6 . After each one of the fund statements, you'll see a reconciliation. I usually get the most questions on that. All it really is it's reconciling the difference between the government-wide and the fund statements. So again, like I mentioned, the only differences really are gonna be the effect of changes and the actual balances of capital assets, paid vacation, and note payable. After the financial statements, you have the notes to the financial statements. And that really just provides context and information as to why the balances are what they are, or provides a greater granular level of detail so it can explain some of the numbers on the financial statements. I'm not gonna go into too much terrible detail in there, but of course, if you guys have any questions, you're welcome to ask either now, after the audit, before the next audit, that is available, so no problem. Now this was interesting for me. The only other item of note was the budget to actual, and you guys only have the general fund. As I was looking through the report and while I was talking about it with the independent reviewer, I noticed one little tweak that I want to make. So on towards the bottom end, toward the variance with final budget, it showed 114,172 in that bottom right-hand corner. And that's a broken formula there, because obviously that's not that much of a difference from 49,051. It added the two instead of subtracting them. So I'm going to go back and fix that as one of the few little minor corrections. And then independent reviewer also made sure that I'm aligning the bullet points and getting the margins exactly 1 inch and things like that. So that's one other tweak that I intend to make when we do issue the final reports. But overall, otherwise, the budget actually was pretty straightforward. We didn't see any major variances that required communication to you guys or concerned of, you know, you guys not being able to hold on to your budget. We don't have a whole lot to talk about with the internal controls because I did reduce the scope of our audit just so that we didn't have to go into detail as to how to manage that chart of accounts or deal with the fixed assets. But overall, the county involvement, as far as it's apportioning all the property taxes and the largest source of revenue, greatly reduces risk. We don't come in here looking at revenues as something that's most likely, you know, misstated. It would be pretty difficult for you guys to have any troubles there. But overall, just kind of your involvement, the board's involvement, having governance, interface with management, having a couple tiers of management. Granted, you're small and you don't have like a whole accounting department. Being able to segregate duties as much as you possibly can always helps as well. But overall, we just still recommend maintaining vigilance. As accountants, we accuse each other of having to maintain a professional skepticism. So it's just kind of, I think that's a good thing for the board to maintain as well. But otherwise, there weren't any other compliance issues or concerns that we had there. And I know that was kind of short, but that was the bulk of my meeting there. So thank you guys for letting us come down here and talk with you and do the audit for another year. Like I said, if you guys, of course, have any questions or concerns about the finances or any individual number, we're happy to talk about it.
No questions. Thank you so much for coming and presenting.
Yeah, thank you. Very, very good report. And excellent, Jessica. Fantastic.
Good job.
Thank you for keeping things in order for him, too.
First time for everybody, you know?
And everything he said.
Yeah, it shows you
that.
Yeah, how professional you guys, all three of you are.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Next thing B, review the preliminary general operating budget for fiscal year 2024-2025 and provide staff with direction.
You need to vote on the audit.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry?
Accepting the audit.
Oh, I vote. No. No, I vote.
I move
to make the. So sorry, you guys gotta help me.
All you have to do is read it.
Yeah. Oh,
just, read the.
Read it as a motion.
Consider.
I move
consider
to accept.
Adapting the final audit report and fiscal year of 2022 to 2023 as presentation by Fletcher and Company.
I second.
Okay.
Director Torres.
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia.
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Torlakson and Director Hudson are absent.
All right.
You're free to go.
I'll review the
thank you.
General operating budget for fiscal year.
Thank you.
Sacramento.
Wonderful.
2024-2025 and provide staff with direction.
That's what we need to do. Okay, so this is going to be the preliminary budget for the next fiscal year coming up. Not too many things to note on this yet since it is a prelim. So we'll start with income. So for the first note, class registrations, I did increase that since we have had a lot of registrations this past year. So it's going from 16,000 to 24,000. Miscellaneous income included attorney fees and settlement last fiscal year, so I dropped that back down to our usual budget for that. For Teen Center and the Academy, we still have grants that we did not use fully, so we're going to be using that, those remaining grant funds for expenses this next fiscal year. And then the Anuta project, that's going to continue on to the next fiscal year. So hopefully we'll get that income in for next fiscal year. For expenses, because of our increase in registrations, I did increase the class instructor budget from 9,000 to 17,000. They do receive 70,000, or 70,000, sorry, 70% of what they bring in. Again, for Teen Center and Academy, we're going to be using the remaining grant funds to help with those expenses. And the last thing is for the auditorium curtains and window coverings. We are requesting to add 7,000 due to cost increase. And that's it.
No questions, just thank you for a very thorough budget.
I move to review the Premierity General Operation Budget for fiscal year 2024 to 2025 and provide staff with directions.
I second.
Oh, we don't have to vote.
We don't have to vote.
Okay. You know.
This was just a preliminary.
Okay. Who is it? Sure.
Yeah, just reviewing.
Got to make sure.
All right. C on board matters. Review recommendations for future capital improvement projects with and provide staff with direction.
The capital improved project is basically to enhance Ambrose Park, and we can call the phase two side of it. I have provided six basic projects to consider with cost projections, and there would also be operations and possible infrastructure costs as well. These projects were basically based on the preliminary master plan element and group consensus from the 2011 master plan. The board may identify additional projects to consider. You might have something that might be better. You did hear some things with the crickets, so there might be some questions on some of the other projects that were put down. We're just looking for direction on that.
I think I have a lot of questions. I'm just kind of looking at the exhibits and stuff. Thank you so much, Lori, for putting this together and I was very curious about the cricket stuff. I know the park that they're talking about. I saw a lot of cricket playing over there at the former Pacifica Park grounds, which is behind Riverview. I'm just curious to see what that would cost. I see a cost here, obviously, I think that you put on there. I'm not sure if that's like a priority, but I'm curious. I want to know more about this league. I want to know how many people they bring usually, what are their costs associated in other parks, right? Because if they said that they have 40 other grounds in the Bay Area, I'd like to find out what those rental costs are, right? I'm also just very curious because I know that it's such a big league and sport that I'm also curious to see if, since we're redoing this park here, if there's any maybe option to have some ground there. I heard them mention something about using baseball fields. So I don't know, maybe it's some mixed use thing here where we save some money by doing it there. But I like to learn more about how much money they bring in to the parks. With that many people, my concern is at any park, is there bathrooms, right? So maybe it is Ambrose Park that we kind of take a look at. But if I were to pick a priority right now, just based on things, how things are moving in the community, I see the soccer fields there as an option. I know soccer's a huge sport here, although I don't know if that's the park to do a project like that at. I mean, I feel like Anuta Park more recently has been like the center for soccer. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm like, I don't know what to give you direction on, because all of this looks great. And I'd like to maybe figure out a way to include the community to see what they think. I mean, in my perfect world, I'd like to do all of this there. Obviously, there's not enough room for all of that, but I definitely want to learn more about the pickleball, the cricket, and the soccer. Those would be my priorities for that park, as far as like what I recommend right now. And maybe possibly a dog park area. I like to figure that out too. Like I said, all that looks good to me.
Do you have any questions, Lupe?
Yeah, I was going to also comment on the cricket. And I think it could be great at Ambrose Park because of the bathrooms, because of the concession stand, because of the pool, and also because of just the barbecue pit and the cave. You know, I think we were going to also get a stand up there so we could have concerts and stuff there. I'd like to use that again, get that back to going, because I know we used to have, you know, some of the people that even work here at the schools that they come out and they sing, and they also do play music and stuff, the DJs, and I think it'd be really great if we go ahead and go back to, and I don't need to go back to the old ways, but to have that stage back up. The stage at Ambrose Park, the cricket sounds so good because it looks like they could also, you know, help us. And I think the other one was that other one, the chain one. I don't remember what it is. I'm so sorry. I left my paper at the house.
But you're talking about like disc golf?
No, not the golf. You know where you throw that, like you throw it into a chain thing. You throw the ball back and forth into a chain.
Basketball?
Disc golf, right?
They call it disc golf.
Oh, disc golf. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is also, but I played that for the first time and I had so much fun. I wanted to play again, you know, but I could only do so much. But it was a lot of fun and I saw a lot of people out there. This is in Modesto, I'm sorry, where I played. And I mean, we had so much fun, and it was so great activity, you know. And it doesn't—it's like a tennis ball court thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. But we have that out there. They could use it out there. We could even do one over there if we could. At Ambrose, I don't know if there's enough space or not, but that would be fantastic too. And then open up this concession stand with bathrooms there too. I mean, you know, we have the stuff, it's there, we just have to rebuild it, you know, or replenish it, or whatever we need to do. But that would be really nice.
Yeah, through the chair, I would suggest that the board during board comments ask to have the cricket put on the agenda for next meeting.
Also, the two things that
looks like there's some interest in that.
Yeah. That will be in the agenda.
Yeah.
But as far as the board matter that we're discussing, so you want us to provide you with some direction. Now you've given us the papers that from our last
preliminary consensus, yeah,
which was, you know, years ago now.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that we should be, as board members, we should be involved in maybe getting together and chatting with staff about what we'd like to see then. Because right now, I mean, yeah, it's too much. And but certainly we have accomplished a lot in the past, I guess, 10 years or more. So it makes me feel really good, and it makes me feel like going through these lists, we can say, well, that's done.
Yeah.
And then the things that matter, you know, like over here it said, I was reading parking lot. I would love to see that parking lot here, you know, be fixed. But then I remember you said that that some group is going to come and do it for free. So
mm-hmm.
those are kind of things that we need to know, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I may want that, but if it's coming free, we shouldn't be working on it.
Yeah.
So do we, will you, as the board members, will you like to come together with staff in the future, you know, maybe in a month or two, I don't know, that would be,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even some community members, you know, like this gentleman that came right now, they probably could be there,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, looking at the list that's presented right now, like Cricket Bay seems like the easiest thing to do. Although I feel a little apprehensive of just jumping the gun on it so far,
because I want to
learn more.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great addition to Ambrose Park, especially up in the upper fields.
Yes.
Like up there in the upper field, that's an area where I could imagine this being and bringing a lot more people back there. But I'm just curious, like, what does that look like financially for a district? I think it'd be good to find that out. But yes, to Eva's point, I think it is up to maybe us to maybe do a little bit more digging too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we looking to give some direction tonight? Like,
no.
Is there no pressure to do that?
Yeah.
It's just kind of looking at review.
Your direction could include a workshop.
You're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a great
idea. We need
great
a workshop.
Idea.
Maybe. You know, all morning, we could be here from like 9 to noon or something like that, so we could discuss it a little further. So, do we need to make a motion on no?
No, just,
so
just provide direction.
Direction is
okay.
For us to get together
provide a workshop.
With all the board members
mm-hmm.
and staff.
And what if we have some of these gentlemen that could do a cricket thing and do a other thing to come to the meeting too and show us, you know, what they provide or what, you know, how they work, how much are the prices.
Yeah, but
we could put them on we're going
to
put them on the agenda.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you can ask some questions.
All right, thank you, Lori.
So do we don't need
that's
effort.
Okay.
Okay, so let's move on to Board Matters D. Consider designating a representative to serve as labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. I vote May.
I vote May. I vote May.
She used to be our.
Yeah, she used to be.
It's for this evening.
Oh.
Okay.
You kind of want a general manager on board by the time I leave, and this will timeline just right. Any personnel action has to be done at a regular meeting, not as a special meeting. So tonight would be the night to negotiate. The next meeting would be to consider and approve the contract.
Eduardo, would you like to be the negotiator?
Sure.
Thank
you.
Ah, thank you so much. Thank you. So, we have a new labor negotiator. Thank you, Eduardo. So, moving on, we have no public hearing, but we do have a closed session, public employment conference with labor negotiator, closed session pursuant to government code session. So, that will be it.
Need to read both of them.
And the added on the agenda, we added member in a closed session. That paper
okay.
I gave you, read that
so
one too.
Read both of them.
They need a vote on
okay,
considering
so
the negotiator? Do they need a vote on that?
Yes,
a vote on the considering.
On D.
Okay, so you need, you. I guess you need to
make a motion.
Oh, I make a motion to consider the what, to make?
To designate.
To designate, right?
To designate.
Yeah, designate.
Eduardo, a representative to serve the labor negotiator, pursuit of Government Code Section 54957.6.
And I'll second that.
Director Torres?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Torlakson and Director Hudson are absent.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so no public hearing, and we do have closed session conference with labor negotiator. So I guess.
Just read the whole thing.
Okay. conference with labor negotiator, closed session pursuant to government code session 549576, general manager. So.
And then the other one we added a closed session. The paper we added at the beginning of the meeting approved.
Oh, you mean Eduardo?
No. The little paper.
The Clearland.
The added.
The one that they gave you.
No, it's this one. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. We have real property negotiations pursuant to government code 54956.8 regarding the sale of approximately 1.99 acres of land located in the southwest corner of Willow Pass Road and Clearland Drive, Bay Point, APN 0970810027. So I guess
we go to your office.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I know how you feel. I know.